Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we are. Good morning, good morning. Yes, we are praying for you. This is Radio Shepherd welcoming you to Wednesday night's Word of Exhortation. I'm so glad you tuned in. I love it when the little flock the Lord has given me tunes in to receive their word from the Lord. It gives me great pleasure to serve you, God's flock. It's really the best way for me to prove that I love the Lord. He said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He says, "Feed my lambs." And feeding lambs, feeding little ones, is a lot of work. Have you had a newborn in the house? Don't they need constant oversight and feeding and changing of diapers? And so when you have a lot of little ones, when you have a lot of little lambs, that's a lot of work. And then, of course, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." And it takes a lot of work to feed those who've been in Christ for a while. So when you combine the lambs and the sheep, it's a lot of work, but it's my love for Christ which constrains me to serve you. And I count it a joy to come to you every single day. I look so forward to coming to you every single day to share what thus saith the Lord. We've been talking about prayer. And the church's greatest failure today is, one, we are not connected to Jesus. We're connected to so many people. We're connected to so many different personalities. We have a personality-driven church today. And it's about, if we can put it this way, it's about the John the Baptists of today increasing and Christ decreasing. Now, the John the Baptist of old said, I must decrease that Christ might increase. Today, it's the reverse. Today, the preachers of today want you to look to them all the time and less to Jesus. So that's one of the main reasons why we are in trouble. And, you know, back in the day, when John the Baptist preached, he just said, I must what? Decrease so that Christ might increase. But in today's church, you have John the Baptist, Miss Baptist, and the Children Baptist. You have the pastor. Then, of course, you have to constantly look at the First Lady, because if you don't, then that is a sin. If you don't worship the First Lady, if you don't worship the ground she walks on, that is a sin. And then not just the First Lady, you got to look at the First Family. So today we're so, the church is so messed up. Because this family, the pastor, his wife, and the children, they must increase and Christ must decrease. See, who's really the First Lady of the church? The church is. Is not the church, is not all of us the bride of Christ? It's the bride of Christ. It's the bride of Christ who's really the First Lady. That's who's really the bride of Christ, the First Lady. And this is why when Christ comes back, we're all going to the wedding of the Lamb. I'm tired of receiving in the mail invitations to go to the pastor's anniversary. And the tickets cost me, starting now, I just recently got one, and the ticket was for $250. Each dinner ticket for the pastor's anniversary, each one was $250. So that means if my wife and I went, we had to cough up $500. And then, of course, you're just not celebrating the pastor. Then it's the First Lady's birthday, too. Well, you see, that's why I just love serving the Lord, because there's going to be the wedding of the Lamb, the wedding. And those of us who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've been invited. But notice, John, the apostle, invites you and me to the wedding of the Lamb, because we are the First Lady of Christ, the churches, and by the way, you're going to a wedding and you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. You see, that's one of the great, you see, that this is one of the great satanic, Satan-driven deceptions of this hour. That now we must focus on the pastor, his wife, and the First Family. They must increase. And if you don't increase them in your personal life, then you are blacklisted. You're told to get with the program, that when they walk by, you got to genuflect, you got to bend your knee. That is so, that deception, that is purely inspired of demons. And this is why we're so in trouble. We're so in trouble because instead of looking to Christ as our source, we are personality driven. This is why when somebody finds out, when people find out that the pastor's not going to be on church on Sunday, because, of course, the pastor doesn't want to announce it because he wants you to show up, and, of course, they want the tithes and offerings. So they don't know. But if you get wind that the pastor's not going to be there, those who get wind, they don't show up. They take off, too. Why? Because the pastor has really become their savior. If the savior's not in, why go to church? That's the sad state of the church today. And then the second reason why we're so defeated is because we have eliminated prayer. That's basically what we've done. There's no, come on, is there really a prayer service in the church today? Or are we going through the motions? You know, the ministry of prayer, praying, was such a part of Jesus' life. We showed yesterday, on Monday, we talked about how Jesus did absolutely nothing without praying first. Christ our Lord was always praying. He prayed before he ordained his apostles. He prayed before he ordained those who he would leave in charge after he ascended into heaven. Jesus prayed before he healed. Jesus prayed before he cast out devils. Jesus prayed before feeding the multitude. Didn't he pray? Didn't he bless the loaves and the fishes, and then they were multiplied? You see, what we find in the scriptures is when we read the Gospels, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we find is a collective witness that Jesus was constantly praying. Prayed without ceasing. In fact, right now, the author of Hebrews says that Christ our Lord is in the heaven. He's in heaven. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We played the hymn, "You Have a Friend Who's Praying for You." Now that's, I'm praying for you, you're praying for me. But we have Jesus. So that if you fail to pray for me and if I fail to pray for you, there's one who never stops praying. He's always praying without ceasing. The book of Hebrews says he ever liveth to do what? To stand in the gap for you. Now, you may not be like the pastor. The pastor, you know, and I hear this in the church, the pastor has his team of intercessors. The first lady has her team of intercessors. Well, why is it that the whole church isn't interceding for the whole church? Why is it that there's only a certain few people who get their band of intercessors? You see, what we're talking about? We're talking about idolatry. We're talking about idolatry. Now, Jesus set up where we are to, what? Pray for one another. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, pray ye one for the other. Nobody's supposed to have their own little band of intercessors. So notice, our Lord constantly prayed. And he's our model, he's our example for ministry. He constantly prayed. He prayed without ceasing. He lived it. He lived it. He was always interceding for those whom he loved. Did he not pray for the lost? Wasn't he in prayer for those who needed to be saved? That's the constant witness of the Gospels. So now today we want to talk about preachers who do what? Who pray without ceasing. Ministers who pray. We ought to do as the apostles did. What did the apostles do? They prayed without ceasing. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, pray without what? Ceasing. And he's writing this, as I shared on Monday, this church is a church made up of new converts. In fact, we believe that this is the first letter Paul ever penned. 1 Thessalonians is believed by scholars and researchers and professors and those involved in academia. We believe that it is that the first letter, the first epistle, the first of anything Paul ever penned. And he's writing this letter to new converts that he cannot get back to. He was an apostle. He was on the move. And so he just established this church. With him was Silas and Timothy, and God used them mightily as a team of three to establish this church, and then they had to be on the move. And Paul writes to them because he's concerned. He's concerned about their spiritual well-being. And one of the things that Paul says to this new convert church as he closes his letter, he says, pray without what? Pray without ceasing. But as you read the book of Acts, because you don't find that the apostles prayed without ceasing in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You find the Savior, their mentor, praying without ceasing. In fact, what we find in the Gospels is that the apostles didn't pray much in the Gospels. They were deficient in their prayer life. When it came to praying, the apostles were very, very weak. In fact, one time Jesus went up to the mountain to be transfigured, and he took with him Peter, James, and John, and he left the other disciples down in the valley to take care of the needs of the people. And when Jesus got back the next day from the Mount of Transfiguration, a man came to Jesus and he says, you know, I brought my son who's demon-possessed. I brought him to your disciples because you left them behind to take care of whatever would appear, whatever needs we would have. So I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't solve his problem. They couldn't cast out the demon. Then Jesus tells them in private, he tells his disciples, listen, this demon, only through fasting and what? Prayer. So the testimony in the Gospels is that while Jesus was always praying, his disciples prayed rarely. And that was the cause of their deficiency in ministry. That's why they had little results in ministry, because they failed to pray constantly. But now when we read the book of Acts and we read the epistles, we find that the apostles of our Lord are now leaders who are what? Constantly praying. Finally, they got it. They understood that if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be a representative of Christ, if you claim to be one of his soldiers in the army of the Lord, one of the things that you have to do is you have to join the other members of the army who are what? Marching on their knees. The army of the Lord marches on its knees. We are a praying, praying, praying people. That's who we are. And we don't make any apologies about it. The army of the Lord, those of us who are believers, are constantly doing what? Humbling ourselves before our God. Now here in 1 Thessalonians, which is a letter written for new converts, I want you to turn to chapter 1 because I want to show you right in the letter, Paul shows the Thessalonians that he practices what he is preaching to them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, we give thanks to God always. We're always praying. And one of the things that we do when we're praying is that we're giving God thanks. Who are we giving thanks for? Well, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our what? Prayers. Remembering without ceasing. You see, remembering without what? Without ceasing. So Paul says, listen, I'm not going to ask you to do something that I myself am not doing. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So Paul says, listen, I'm praying without ceasing, and I'm praying without ceasing for you. I'm presenting you before God. I'm bringing your needs before God. I'm bringing your troubles before God. And at the end of the day, when you remain standing in the faith in Christ, all we can do as we end our prayers is to give thanks to God for you. But then in chapter 2, verse 13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. What is he doing? He's thanking God without ceasing. Why is he thanking God? Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. We're constantly thanking God because when you heard the word preached from us, you received it and keep receiving it. Not because it is the word of men, but because you perceived, and rightly so, that it is the oracle, the word, a message from God. So Paul was constantly praying without ceasing. And we see this in the ministry of Peter. Look, in the very first chapter of the book of Acts, what were the apostles doing as they were waiting for the arrival of the Holy Spirit? They were in the upper room, what? Praying. Then we find in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John are on their way to the temple in the ninth hour to what? Pray. That's when they healed the man who was lame. And then when they were arrested and let go in chapter 4 and they go back to their own company, they called a prayer meeting, an impromptu prayer meeting with the entire church. And they prayed for boldness and the place was shaken. And we find that throughout the book of Acts, we find the believers doing what? Praying. Even Stephen, the deacon, when they were stoning him, praying for those who were stoning him. He said, like Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, my brothers, the church, the early church, the early disciples, the early leaders, the early apostles, they had a life of praying without ceasing, and that's why they were so successful in God. This is why people who had no television ministry, remember, they had no what? Television ministry. They had no radio ministry. They had no praise-a-thons where they were raising money. We need to raise money to preach the gospel. They had none of this baloney that people have today. And what did they do? The Bible says that preaching Jesus and praying without ceasing caused them to turn the world upside down. A band of people, simple folk, with just a message, Christ and Him crucified, and a simple tool, prayer, they were able to evangelize the known world. And so Paul says to us, do what? Pray without ceasing. Why? Because the apostles did it. The apostles prayed and were victorious. You want to be victorious in life? Stay connected to God. And this is why Paul says to the Thessalonians, as he closes the letter, he says in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So pray without ceasing. You know, as I said before, this letter of Paul was written to a church made up entirely of new converts. You know what I find today when I visit churches and I inquire about their new converts program? What I find is that in many churches, they may have a 6 to 8 week new convert program. And in the 6 to 8 weeks, they go through, well, first of all, they have to have a class, 1 day class on who is the pastor and why you must submit to the pastor. See, so they give you the whole governmental structure of the church. They make sure that you, right out of the gate, they want you to know who's the boss and what is the flow of power. They show you a governmental chart as to, yeah, Christ is the head, but he must be the figurehead. So they show you the whole flow of the chart. They show you everything. And then they go and then they talk about the elders and then the deacons and then what is the church service and what is praise and what is worship. And then the last class that they have for you at the end of the 6 to 8 week new converts course, the last class that they have is a class on tithing. They have a class on tithing. They want you to know that now you have to bring your 10% to the church. That's the last class. So in between that, you get a little bit of the Lord's Supper. You get a little bit of baptism. You get a little bit of, they don't even talk to you about holiness anymore. So in this 6 to 8 week course, there is nothing in the course about prayer. Not a thing. And if it's mentioned, it's like it's mentioned and they just, it's like driving through a little town. You know those little rural towns, those little towns where in 5 minutes you can drive in and out of the town. That's what they do with prayer. In 2 seconds they mention prayer and they pass by the little town of prayer and they keep going. Well, that's not what Paul and the apostles did with new converts. To them, if you read 1 Thessalonians, Paul does not talk about. He does not talk about tithing. He talks about prayer. And so, listen, my brothers, let's emulate Christ and let's emulate his disciples and let's make the things that they made priorities in their life and ministry. Let us make those very same things the priorities in our life and in our ministry. Let's emulate Christ and those he left behind to start the early church. And I can guarantee you that if we do like Christ and his apostles, if we can pray without ceasing, that we will have the success that Christ and his apostles had. We're not going to have success by money. Money doesn't... How many ministries are pouring millions of dollars into projects that don't produce souls, that does not disciple men and women for Christ? A great many churches throw away money. They have big budgets, $30 million budgets, and then at the end of the year when you look at, well, what did you get for your $30 million that you invested this year? You got nothing. And so let's do it the way it's supposed to be done. Let's do it by preaching Christ and him crucified, and then let's do it by praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing. Let's make the things that are supposed to be a priority, let's make them a priority. As I said in the introduction, you know, you can worship your leaders. Your church can actually be a cult. Like ancient Egypt was a cult, where you worship Pharaoh and you worship his queen and you worship Pharaoh's firstborn and his family. You want to go back to Egypt? You want to go back to that kind of a system where Pharaoh is not only a man, but Pharaoh is also a god. And, you know, as I was watching the Ten Commandments this weekend, the Yul Brynner version of the Ten Commandments, when Pharaoh spoke, he said, "So let it be written, so let it be done." You know, when your pastor speaks, the pastor says, "So let it be written, so let it be," and everybody follows. The pastor gets up in the pulpit and says, "And I decree and I declare," and everybody just follows suit. Well, if you want to be part of that kind of cult, that's your choice. But I want to worship Jesus, and I want to pray for his bride. I want to focus on the true first lady of the church, and that is the bride of Christ. And I want to pray without ceasing. I want to intercede for my brothers and sisters, because when I consider all of their needs and what they need from God and how they're still waiting, that'll keep us on our knees for a while. So let's pray without ceasing. Now, as I close, let me please remind you that in prayer, the Lord has been impressing upon me that this radio broadcast and all of the other we have four radio broadcasts in total. And the Lord has been impressing upon me to share with you that it's not enough that we have a couple of hundred people tuning in. The Lord has prompted us to start these four broadcasts so that thousands can tune in, so that his remnant church, you know, the Lord has a remnant church. The remnant church is made up of old school people, people who are not into the foolishness that's in the church today. And you must know at least 10 to 20 to 30 people who are just so fed up with what church has become today. And so this is why the Lord has prompted us to launch these four broadcasts. And each broadcast serves a different part of your church Christ salvation experience. So I need your help, because the Lord is telling me, go to the people and tell the people to tell them that there is meat in my house. What meat? The meat of the word. There is the meat of the word. The Lord wants more people to listen to these broadcasts, because the Lord intends to revive the remnant church. And many wonderful things are just going to happen from these broadcasts. Not because of me. No, it's not me. In fact, you don't even know who I am. I don't make it a point to talk about me. I'm not into me. I myself am not into me. I'm into Christ. And when he told me to initiate this, to do this, he said, you leave your name out of it, and you make sure that you just promote me. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, again, I am not developing my personal brand. In fact, I despise all of that talk. But the Lord wants more people to tune in. So I need you to help me tell others about this broadcast and tell them where they can get a word of the Lord, where they can come, and there's not going to be a $1,000 line. They don't have to get on the $1,000 line. They don't have to sow a seed to meet their need. You can tell them where they can come and get an unadulterated word from the Lord. Where on a daily basis, they can sit at the Lord's table and eat from his spiritual bounty. Because it takes a lot to produce four broadcasts a day. But we are faithful because we heard from him, who said, my grace is sufficient. And so help me. Tell others about Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. Tell them about the Wolf Tracker program. tell them about daily manna from heaven. And also, you know, what's very, very important for us is this Bible Institute, because we believe that from those classes, God's going to raise up leaders who are not considered leaders by the elite of the church, that God is going to speak to people from those Bible Institute lectures. He's going to encourage them to go and start house churches, home churches. And so this is why this radio network of four cluster programs, four broadcasts, are strategic in this late hour in which we live. So please help me do what the Lord is asking us to do. Let's get other sheep into this fold. Let's tell them about the broadcast. Amen. That'll do it for today. Don't forget tomorrow's night's Bible study, Thursday night. Oh, boy. The characteristics of a true church of Christ. We did part one last Thursday. Tomorrow we're coming back with part two. The characteristics of a true church of Christ. Don't miss part two tomorrow night. Until then, this is Radio Shepherd signing off. And as you listen to this last hymn, meditate and think about the responsibility that God has given us to pray without ceasing.
Oh.